Good morning. We're here with you live this Monday, October 27th. Matt Neely behind the glass. I'm Lydia Aranda, your host. If it's Monday, it's Rainmakers, the morning voice, kicking it off in a very positive way with positive talk radio. And Matt, you're right. It's clear. It's lovely this morning. It
crystal
was a
clear
beautiful
skies.
Drive-in.
Yeah. Crisp mornings. I love this time of year.
It's wonderful. It's very inspiring to get up and have, you know, the coffee goes down just a little bit better when it's a little bit cool outside, I think.
Coffee always goes down well in the morning.
And yes, so much going on as we're wrapping up a really busy month. We are in full swing of the season of conferences and special events and fundraisers
like.
So here at the Morning Voice, and especially on Rainmakers, we have lots and lots of guests that are coming on to talk about the good things that they're doing here in Tucson or for all of Southern Arizona. And this morning is going to be very exciting. In our first hour, we have here this morning Megan Davis and Marissa Lund, both representing Ronald McDonald House Charities of Southern Arizona. Megan is on the board and also chairs the Red Shoe Committee, and Marissa heads up marketing efforts for the organization. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you here, and I know that we have so much to talk, but before we get into the wonderful things that you do at Ronald McDonald House, Matt Neely and I had an opportunity to see each other also with Ed Ackerley.
Indeed.
Another member of our Morning Voice crew. We were at the U of A last night watching a film, a very interesting film, and it was part of Arizona Arts Live and Film Festival Tucson, courtesy, actually, of Matt Neely and his wonderful contacts, who invited us to come and see this very interesting film last night called The Legacy of the Happy Worker.
The Legend
Worker.
Of the Happy Worker, yeah.
Legend of the Happy Worker. And Matt, it was kind of interesting, wasn't it?
Sort of a parable of sorts.
It really was.
About the value of work and the value of feeling good about what you do at work. And Thomas Hayden Church was, I guess, the most recognizable star in the movie. And the director and producer were on site with Herb Stratford. And it was, again, part of Film Fest Tucson, which used to be a one-weekend event in October, which he's partnered up with Arizona Arts to have every few Sunday nights for several months.
So yes, because this has kind of been going on since about May or June, hasn't it?
Yeah, since maybe September, October. This is the third one. Maybe August. Anyway, it's been going on for, this is the third one that he's done.
Well, it was very interesting. I had some friends that came along, and what I always enjoy when there's an opportunity to talk to the producers and directors and funders and people that have supported. And so it was interesting. Actually, I didn't realize till he got up to speak on stage that Dwayne was actually sitting right next to me during the viewing.
Oh.
So I was watching him, he was watching us, and we decided he was another member of the community, and then he got up and actually went on stage and started talking about the whys and the wherefores and kind of what sparred the film. So anyone, I think, who is interested in seeing these kind of films, they can check out Arizona Arts Live to learn more.
arts.arizona.edu. You can also, I think Herb is still doing his Film Fest Tucson website, which is filmfesttucson.org.
Okay.
You can check it out there and find out what he's shown so far. Earlier this year, he did a documentary called The Pantone Guy about the gentleman who invented the Pantone numbered coloring system, right? That kind of gives language to color for printers.
It sure does.
And for logos and for branding and all sorts of neat things. And then they had one called Capturing Kennedy, which is about the guy that, a gentleman who ended up, he started taking pictures of Kennedy early on in his political career and ended up being documenting his presidential run. And interesting story. All the original negatives were lost because he stored them in a vault in the World Trade Center. And this is about kind of reconnecting and finding original prints and going back to that. And then, of course, yesterday was The Legend of the Happy Worker, which was, the first two were more documentaries, and this was more of a narrative kind of film. And it was almost told like a parable in a way. And you know, it was different. It
sort of had a setting, sort of a cowboy setting, and,
yeah.
and which made it a little bit of like someone reflecting and sort of telling a story to a new generation.
Right. And I just thought the use of color and backgrounds, and a lot of it was, there are a lot of scenes in Monument Valley. The filming there was a brief portion of the entire project, mm-hmm. but it certainly evokes the whole northern Arizona, southern Utah mining landscapes of the red
and
the
mining,
red dirt.
A lot of digging, big.
But they were digging for meaning. Anyway, it was a wonderful little film. So it was a wonderful story that I don't know, use the word feel good, but it was just a. It had a nice
message to it in the
end,
and little challenges and hiccups along the way that I think represent life, right? As we're all in our career paths. And what I really took away from it too is, and you and I were speaking about this, Matt, offline, that it is so easy to blur our work life and career paths with our home life and our family life.
Indeed.
And it's also very important though to find that separation so that we can decompress, so that we can make sure to remember what's most important to us. And not that careers are not important, they're fabulously important, but there are many different ways to tackle our careers, so they don't have to be the be-all and end-all, because we can find many ways. And if we're doing work we love, as the old adage goes, then it doesn't really feel like work. So that's part of our mission here.
Indeed. Well, thanks for joining us last night, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about a little bit this morning. Legend of the Happy Worker.
Yes.
It'll be coming to video on demand, you know, very soon. You'll be able to see it. I don't know exactly when. They didn't give us a date, but it sounds like
I think they said kind of maybe later this year.
Yeah, it's like
which is
Which is
quickly.
Soon. By definition is soon.
It really is. It really is. And I love that this was shown at the Moroni Theater at U of A. And so many wonderful things happen on our campus, which is a wonderful segue, I think, into our guests this morning. Again, we have Megan and we have Marissa, and we're talking Ronald McDonald House Charities of Southern Arizona. And one of the wonderful things that's coming up on the calendar in December, on December 7th, is going to be the annual Walk for Kids, which many folks, and Matt, I don't know if you've participated in the past, but I know many folks who have walked in that. It's a great fundraiser. It's a great attention getter. It's a great reminder for people about the mission of Ronald McDonald House Charities. And historically, that has been held over at the U of A, so they've been a great partner to that. But this year, it's going to be held just down the street here at Keno. And so, Marissa, tell us a little bit about the location where people are going to be at Walk for Kids. It's, again, just down the road. Here, around the corner.
Yeah, just down the road at Keno Sports Complex. We're going to be on the north side in Sam Lena Park, just kind of south of where FC Tucson's headquarters are.
Fantastic.
And it's going to be full of activities from nonprofit partners and our sponsors. And it's just a really great morning for kids and families to get out there and support the Ronald McDonald House and just have a very active morning.
Wonderful. And Megan, it was so nice to see you. Megan actually attended our Eat and Greet last week, Matt and listeners, and it was wonderful to see you out there. Thank you for your interest in supporting. We were excited to be at the new facility, the PAD, and learn a lot about, I don't know if you're a pickleball, I didn't even ask you if you're a pickleball enthusiast or a padel or any of the other table tennis and other things they do.
I play, but not well.
Oh, good for you. Well, it seems like they've got a lot of great deals there. For people to sign up even with memberships, so they can have, I want to say, almost unlimited access within whatever membership levels that they have. And it was nice to see you so enthusiastic about that. And one of the things you were talking about was how very much you enjoy your role as a board member, a member of the board of directors, and also that you chair the committee, the Red Shoe Committee.
Yes. Red Shoe Society,
excuse me. And that is, there are Red Shoe Societies at the different Ronald McDonald House charity locations all around the country that participate. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And is the Red Shoe Society something that's, I don't want to say an offshoot, but maybe a sort of a sister initiative that helps support the charity homes themselves, the hospitals and the foundations and things, I guess the living quarters, excuse me.
That's a great way to put it. We work directly with the Ronald McDonald House to help support them. We do fundraising efforts. We also prioritize networking and social events because we're kind of a young professionals group
Tucson,
Arizona. So I had been looking after college, a way to get involved. And I had met Scott, our CEO, at the Ronald McDonald House, and he introduced me to the program. And it's just an amazing way. We get to collaborate with our board members, the amazing staff at the house. And so we put on fundraising events. We help with the holiday events at the house. And we just get to spend a lot of one-on-one, hands-on time with the families and the children staying there. And it's just amazing to see the work that the house does.
It really is. And Ronald McDonald House Charities, very present in communities all across the U.S. I know that even in our state, not only here in Southern Arizona, but also in Central Arizona, headquartered in Phoenix, are a really mainstay of an organization that helps support families when they are going through crisis with their children, having to be hospitalized, having to be treated. And my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I've always understood that with Ronald McDonald House, the support is for children going through a whole number of different issues. It's not just related to one disease or one affliction. Like we see some other organizations that are very centered, St. Jude's, for example, very centered on childhood cancers and the research that goes on behind that. But Ronald McDonald House is a little bit more widespread, which means that there's an opportunity to get a lot of different people involved and not just singular disease. And so together, that makes for a lot of holistic, really full spectrum of attention to parents and families and siblings who have a little one that's going through so much.
Yeah.
Tell me, well, actually, we're getting really close to a break here, so I'm going to plant this little seed, and I want to hear from both of you, Marissa and from Megan, of what kind of drew you into this work. I heard you say, Megan, that when you were in college and as you wrapped up and were entering your career, you were looking for a way to give back, and probably something in particular drew you to Ronald McDonald House. And Marissa, I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. Matt Neely, I know that you are so heavily engaged in community, so none of these things are new news to you, but probably have a certain pull too. So I'm going to ask you that question after the break,
and
then I'll tell you mine as well. So it is already time for our first commercial break. You're listening to Rainmakers here on KVOI, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Please stick with us. So it's a little too early for me to be hitting those same notes as Philip Bailey there, Earth, Wind, and Fire, but I love that song, Fantasy, and so appropriate for this morning and the kind of things we talk about here on Rainmakers, because it is all about the initiatives, the people, the organizations that are helping Southern Arizonans thrive. Ronald McDonald House Charities is certainly one of those and has been for a very long time. And during the break, Marissa, from a marketing aspect, from a brand and imaging, from all of those different kind of strategies about Ronald McDonald House here in Southern Arizona, you were sharing that that Angel Charities, which is another very well-known organization here in all across the state, actually, and here in Southern Arizona for sure, that there's a history between the support that Angel Charities for Children was able to give you all at Ronald McDonald House. Do you want to tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, of course. So back in 1981, we founded our first house on Speedway Boulevard, and if you've ever driven past it, I'm sure you've seen it. But Angel Charity actually put together a fundraiser for us and retired our first mortgage so that we could focus on just serving families rather than having this looming loan over our heads.
How wonderful.
That was their very first fundraising effort at the club's inception. That was number one.
Oh my goodness, it was a first all around.
Yeah.
That's great history. I didn't realize that. And what a wonderful effort. I'm sure it was a great story, and the people that came together to donate and contribute to that probably had no problem at all in the sense of knowing that that is a really good mission, because it relieves the organization from the debt, lets you go about your programmatic issues, your outreach, your service, and be able to do more. Mm-hmm. How exciting. And so, Megan, are you aware of that story? And is that one of the things that maybe attracted you over to Ronald McDonald House?
That's actually the first time that I'm hearing that story.
Oh, wonderful.
But
we're all learning a little bit this morning.
I love that. Angel Charities is such a good organization in Tucson. And mm-hmm. so I'm not at all surprised that they were so heavily involved in helping us do what we do and supporting our mission.
Well, and speaking of that, let's tell our listeners, for anybody who just might not really remember or maybe hasn't really understood the mission of Ronald McDonald House and Ronald McDonald House Charities, I should say, because there's an awful lot that goes on there. Megan, why don't you tell us a little bit about the mission?
Yeah. Our whole mission is to create a home away from home for the families who are traveling to get medical care for their children. And that really spans a wide variety of care and a wide age group as well. So it can be mothers who still have a child in the womb up to 21 here in Tucson.
Wow.
And so we understand that when you're going through a medical issue, there are so many stressors that come with that. You're worried about your family and your children and uprooting their lives. There's financial challenges and just the stress that comes with medical issues like that. So we really strive to make sure that we create a community and a home and a loving place for these families to fall. So when they come and stay at the Ronald McDonald House, they stay for no charge in Tucson. And so we have a gorgeous community kitchen where we always have the fridge stocked. We have amazing groups who come and will do a chef for a day and make a nice, warm, home-cooked meal for the families. And we have amazing staff who make sure that we put on super fun community events and family events to kind of get rid of the stressors and make sure that you're creating amazing, fun memories during such a challenging time.
That's really wonderful. And I think comfort, it comes in many ways. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's just knowing that they don't have to worry about a place, they can be nearby. But you also mentioned things like food and having well-stocked kitchens and even having chefs come and donate their services to prepare family-style meals or mm-hmm. maybe for multiple families to come together around breaking bread and getting to know each other and offering support with each other. Food is a big part of people, for obvious reasons, fuel and nutrition. But it really does help break down the barriers and bridge people to start finding amongst each other the similarities and mm-hmm. during such a stressful time to know that maybe they're not the only ones going through something and they can find some comfort and maybe make lifelong friendships with some of the other families, parents to parents or even siblings that might find some comfort in that as well is really an important aspect. I know that that's something that always attracted me in different times that I've been able to get involved with Ronald McDonald House Charities in Arizona, in Texas, in different places, or people who have actually experienced that, who are beneficiaries of mm-hmm. the services that you all provide. It's really, really important, and it is in my opinion, but I'd love for you to tell me a little bit more about this. Maybe Marissa, you can talk a little bit about this. Is there are similarities with the kind of services we spoke about it earlier that Ronald McDonald House Charities offers in the sense of a place to stay, comfort services, those kinds of things that go in line with other organizations. But to me, that's really what it's about, that there doesn't have to be competition there. There can be collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
While some organizations might specialize in certain disease or afflictions, other homes might be a little bit more about transportation or, some other aspect that really coming together, being able to give back in this way. Because the truth is, almost all of us are going to face some sort of health dilemma or challenge. Mm-hmm. And if it happens when we or our children are of young age, then you need some extra support there. It's really, it's just a different challenge to go through.
Absolutely.
And so in my view, we can't have enough of this. Talk to me a little bit from a marketing angle, an aspect about the image of Ronald McDonald's houses has changed over the years, just like McDonald's has, and Ronald McDonald himself as a character, as a main character. Do you find over time that, for example, the Walk for Life Walk for Kids that's happening coming up in early December here. So does that bring together some of the characters, the fun characters from the McDonald's, you know, like, I'm missing all their names, but the big purple guy.
Grimace,
thank you. I get mixed up. There's so many characters out there for kids. And, you know, the Hamburglar and all of that. So are those still real mainstays in kind of the attraction for kids, or has something replaced that?
Yeah, so Ronald McDonald and Grimace are still around and very well. Grimace will actually be at our walk for kids in December.
He kind of wobbles, but you know.
he wobbles. But the idea of the Ronald McDonald House is a little bit removed from those characters. Back when McDonald's introduced those, they were a sign of comfort and childhood and just kind of having, you know,
like a familiar friendly face.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. But really that feeling hasn't gone away. It's still the Ronald McDonald House is a place where you feel that love and that friendship, and you may not get it directly from Ronald McDonald these days. But you do find it from other families that are staying there. For example, we have families that tell us all the time about, you know, just sitting in the kitchen, eating dinner with another mom, and they were able to share what was going on in their kids' lives, and just for a second they were connected on so many levels, and it's just beautiful friendships that are born there.
Well, and the icon of the big red shoes that Ronald McDonald is famous for, you know, not only his red hair on top, but his big red shoes. And I see, actually, I don't know if our viewers probably can't see, but Marissa is sporting some gorgeous red heels today, some platform shoes. So those are lovely. And I think that's really what created then the Red Shoe Society to be, that's what walks the talk, if you will, of the support of this mission. So Megan, maybe red shoes was one of the things that attracted you. Who knows? Something always catches our eye.
Yes.
We're getting pretty close to our next break already, if you can believe it. We're going to be at the bottom of the hour. But when we come back, I'm going to let's do a little bit more deep dive into the kind of programs and how people can get involved in the Walk for Kids. So stick with us. We are here on Rainmakers. It's the Morning Voice. If it's Monday, it's Rainmakers, and we're helping shine a light on those things that help our families and businesses thrive here in Southern Arizona. So stay tuned. I am happy this morning. Matt Neely, you know that song always makes me smile, snap
Snoopy
my
dance,
fingers.
Baby.
Yeah, do the little Snoopy dance, even the Pee Wee Herman dance, whatever you got, just being happy.
We are Jeremy Cheese when he gets an extra burger. It's,
there
we're
you
all
go.
Happy.
That's right. Speaking of, right, the whole theme of the day. So happy to have Megan Davis and Marissa Lund here. Matt Neely, I wanted to ask you, what's one of your favorite stories or connections to Ronald McDonald House? I know you always have one.
Well, we already talked about the big one is Angel Charity for Children. That was their first fundraise, right? That Louise Thomas founded the organization. That was the first fundraise. So that I was fortunate enough to go to the event at the party at the Ronald McDonald House several years ago.
Okay.
And that's when I met Scott. So that's the first time I actually met Scott, and we had a great time and a lot of McDonald's themed food that local chefs created, you know, to give a special theme to the evening, you know, and
it's nice. Fun.
And hearing the story again about what they do, why they're there, you know, and I'd always seen it when I moved here maybe about 30 or so years ago, and I'd see the place on Speedway, but then learning about how they provide this sanctuary for families that are visiting and dealing with really serious issues with their kids in the hospital. And there's this place that they can go, you know, they don't have to think about dinner or anything. All they have to think about is resting up for the next day.
Exactly.
Right? So
just being able to be in a safe place to regroup and fuel up. And
so going to the first time I was able to go to the party at Ronald McDonald's house, at Ronald McDonald House.
it's a mouthful, isn't it?
The first time I was able to go to there, you know, go to that event, I should say. You know, they gave us a tour. And they told us you know, this is, you know, here's the kitchen, here's the lounge where they can relax for a few minutes. They have rooms here. Mm-hmm. We take care of things that we can help them with so they can do what they got to do.
Exactly.
You know, so being able to have a fun evening, a lot of red shoes. Very, people around Tucson are very creative with how they can respond, with how they can, you know, get into the spirit of this.
Including red bows and glitter. Indeed. And all kinds of things.
Indeed. And then,
red patent leather, I'm sure.
And then, you know, having all that fun and then learning, you know, about the why.
Right.
That was really cool.
Oh, very good. Thank you so much for sharing. I think you bring up so many good points. Again, the mission to help support the kids and the families with kids who are going through serious medical issues and need some treatment, need some attention, need some services. And so this is a place for the families and the siblings and the kids themselves, even to know that their parents are okay and nearby. So tell us a little bit, Marissa, I'm going to ask you a little bit about, with Ronald McDonald House, of course, the facility is there on Speedway, but there are other rooms tied into TMC and Banner that have service and have activities. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, of course. So our main program is the Ronald McDonald House, which is now located on Allen Road, right next to Banner North.
Mm-hmm.
But we also operate two Ronald McDonald family rooms, one at Banner and one at Tucson Medical Center. And those are places where families can just, you know, just steps from their kids' bedsides, go get a cup of coffee, sit down, relax in a quiet place with soft surroundings, and just kind of get their bearings so that they can get back to their kid and really be their best selves.
Oh, good. And that's important because, again, not only do they benefit from being able to stay at the house, at the facilities offsite, and get the rest, get the fuel, be able to commune, perhaps, not only with each other, but maybe with other families mm-hmm. that are going through the same thing. But when you're in the throes of the actual service, treatment, other things, hospitals can be very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. There can sometimes be a lot of activity with a lot of different members of the public. So it's nice that there's this retreat mm-hmm. for the families to go through. And that is where, again, fundraising becomes very important mm-hmm. to be able to provide those things. I'm sure TMC and Banner do what they can to in their own fundraising and their own support mm-hmm. and giving. But this is where donations, contributions, maybe even in-kind, mm-hmm. But also skills and talents. So one of the things that we were talking about during the break that I'd love to share with our listeners and our viewers is that there are many ways to get involved. Folks can come and volunteer. Certainly they can donate and they can participate in a fundraiser, but they can actually come to the Ronald McDonald House itself or maybe even volunteer a shift at one of these family rooms. Now, is that mm-hmm. something that they should look on your website to sign up, or are there places to go, a Facebook page? Or
yeah, absolutely. So the best way to get involved in that type of volunteering is to visit our website, rmhctucson.org.
Okay.
And you'll hit the tab that says for volunteers. You'll fill out a short form and our volunteer coordinator, McKay, will reach out to you and she's great. She'll figure out where exactly you fit, how many times a week you can come, and she'll really match you with the right opportunity.
That's wonderful. And so people can actually volunteer and sign up for a regular shift, if you will, mm-hmm. to be at one of these facilities and donate of their time and attention. And that helps expand the reach that you all have. And then, Megan, folks can get involved with Red Shoe Society. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit different type of volunteering. It's maybe signing up for help with fundraising, getting involved maybe on a committee or two.
Yeah, so the Red Shoe Society, we're always looking to help the house serve more families and serve them better. And so we do fundraising events. One of my favorite volunteer events that we do this past Mother's Day, we really focus on this family-centered care. And so we wanted to make sure that the mothers felt pampered for Mother's Day. And so we partnered with Sephora. They brought these amazing little swag bags mm-hmm. full of makeup testers. And we had some awesome volunteers who did haircuts and blowouts and styles for the moms.
Wonderful.
So we gave them a little makeover for the mm-hmm. day. The kids were crafting with the Red Shoe Society members. And so we made little picture frames. And then once the moms were feeling good and happy and fresh, we did a little family photo shoot in our gardens outside.
Oh,
and then
lovely.
While the kids were crafting those frames, we printed the pictures and they were able to give their moms Mother's Day photos. So it's an easy couple hours on a Saturday that we get to hang out with the families and just make a difference in their lives and help them feel like they're having positive memories at the house.
That's great, because within all the challenges, especially health challenges, I think being able to keep a perspective where you look for at least one positive thing, one mm-hmm. silver lining, and one activity that helps relieve that can really go a long way in healing too. Yeah. And they say that a healthy sense of humor helps get through an awful lot of health challenges. Mm-hmm. I know that that's true. Something that we try and keep in mind. And so it sounds like being able to have these activities. Speaking of activities, let's do a plug again. Listeners, please get involved in knowing that Ronald McDonald House Charities is having their annual Walk for Kids. It's not happening until December 7th, but that's really not that far away. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't signed up yet, and if you do sign up and you sign up by or before November 10th, then you, the person signing up, get entered into a drawing for tickets to Disneyland. And is that like a family pass to Disneyland, or how does that go?
Yeah, so it's 4 tickets. They're 2-day, 1 park per day, Park Hopper tickets to Disneyland.
That. Park Hopper.
Yes, it's a mouthful.
Ronald McDonald House and Park Hoppers.
Yes, but when you sign up, it's just our way of saying thank you for hopping on early, for getting started on fundraising for the Walk for Kids, and just, you know, get out there with your own family and make some memories.
And it's an easy thing. You sign up, you get pledges, you show up that morning mm-hmm. of December 7th at Keno. And first time doing at Keno, it's been historically over at UVA. So don't go to UVA because you'll be at the wrong spot. Got to come over to Keno. And when you go there, then you walk around for a bit. You're in a walk, mm-hmm. but it is, you can go at your own pace. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure there are activities and tables and things to do as you get there. Yep. And certainly as the walk ends, probably, I'm going to guess, a few speeches to kick it all off and some recognition. And Matt, you were mentioning, well, all of us have brought up Scott's name today, and anybody who might be wondering who we're talking about, that's Scott Matlick, and he is the president and CEO of Ronald McDonald House Charities here in Tucson and for all of Southern Arizona, and does a great job. I know that he was really looking forward to being here this morning. We miss him because he has some other obligation that took him away, but we know that he is out and about. I see Scott in many, many events, and he puts his head together really well, very mm-hmm. collaboratively and inclusively with other organizations, mm-hmm. and always trying to think about how else can we collaborate to make a difference in Tucson. Mm-hmm. I know that so many of our listeners have probably had an experience, and if any of you feel like calling in, remember that our line is 520-790-2040, and we'd love to hear your story. We're getting ready to go on another commercial break here in about 30 seconds. However, if you feel like calling in our last segment before we go to our second hour, we'd love to hear your story, your favorite story about Ronald McDonald House Charities and or McDonald's. Maybe you have a Grimace or a Hamburglar story that you might want to share with us. We'd love to hear from you. With that, you're listening to Rainmakers. It's Monday, October 29th. We've been having a fabulous talk this morning with Megan and Marissa, and we will be right back. And we're back. It is... I'm sorry, it is Monday, October 29th. All of a sudden, I forgot what day it was. Monday morning here on Rainmakers in KVOI Studios. And we are wrapping up a fabulous first hour. I've had wonderful ladies, Megan Davis and Marissa Lund, here representing Ronald McDonald House Charities of Southern Arizona, and in particular, the Red Shoe Society. Megan chairs that committee. And one of the things that we were talking about a little bit at break was really how lately there's been more of a pull to get more folks to sign up and be part of the Red Shoe Society. And so, Megan, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about that. And before you even get into that point, you were telling a great story about your father. Yes. And folks that you and your folks were cleaning out the garage and came across some old articles in yes. Arizona Daily Star that mm-hmm. had your father and some of his Air Force buddies.
Yeah.
And shout out to your dad. Thank you for his service. Where they were actually helping paint that house mm-hmm. on Speedway, one of those facilities. Yeah. So what a great memory. It sounds like you've got a legacy of giving
yes.
and giving back and being involved. So Red Shoe Society is a great way to do that, not only for professional input and development, but really mm-hmm. catering to that servant leadership. And for folks who maybe don't have a lot of that experience, it's a great place to get started. Tell us maybe how they can get involved there.
Yeah, Red Shoe Society, our goal is to help engage the next generation of leaders to get involved in the community and in nonprofit work. So we work directly with the house. We do fundraising events. And so we meet monthly on the second Wednesday of every month at 5:30 at the house.
Nice.
It's an easy way to get involved and kind of dip your toe into the world of nonprofits. It's only a few hours of commitment every single month. Some of our members are CPAs, marketers, real estate agents, a chemist. So it's really just
wow.
a wide variety sure. of like-minded individuals who love the mission of the house and have this calling to serve and donate their time and their different abilities to help people who are staying at the house.
That is so wonderful. And Marissa, I'm sure that the Red Shoe Society is a great addition to not only the marketing, but your fundraising development team, mm-hmm. your operations team, you know, mm-hmm. everybody that comes together to make this great charity here in Southern Arizona, particularly here in Tucson and Pima County, thrive. You were mentioning during the break also, though, and I think it's important for folks to note that this particular charity affiliate serves all of Southern Arizona. And mm-hmm. so you cater to families who are coming from Fort Huachuca, who are coming from Cochise County, Santa Cruz County, maybe even over in Greenlee and Graham who have a need. And this might be the place for them to get some of the best care for their kids and be able to benefit from the kind of support that you offer. So folks are chefs. A big part of this we talked about is food and, mm-hmm. and kind of the culinary aspect and the cultural impact of knowing that certain foods not only are going to help nourish us, but can also be really important reminders and comfort of our culture and our traditions. And so chefs and cooks and people who prepare recipes or maybe grow food, you know, there's a place for them to participate in the giving back with their time and talent as well. Yep.
Absolutely.
And so once again, going on to the website, which is
rmhctucson.org, and go to the tab that says for volunteers. It lists out all of our volunteer opportunities. There's something for everyone.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. And if people want to sign up for Red Shoe Society, is that the best place for them yeah. to go as well?
Right under the volunteer tab, there's a Red Shoe Society tab. We have a meeting coming up in November, and then we're also doing a really fun holiday event on Friday, November 21st. We're going to decorate holiday cookies. So even if you're not a chef, if you're, you know, just looking to get involved, we're going to watch some holiday movies.
Or maybe you're a budding chef. You're yes. a budding baker.
Yes. Very low commitment, light work, nothing crazy. We'll have the cookies already made, so that takes
so one this list. Is more about the actual decorating and, mm-hmm. and assembling. Okay, wonderful.
Yeah,
I have to say that's something that I always am so impressed with, how creative people get with the frosting mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and little decoratives. And Matt Neely,
sprinkles.
I see sprinkles. I was going to say there's something going on that's got you excited
over
there.
Cinnamon Red Hots, you bet.
If you're an artist or a baker, please come teach us, because my cookie decorating skills are lacking. So that's someone we need on Red Shoe.
Okay. Another shout out there for time and talent and being able to come and share the skill. You know, we've had several folks on during the past months and weeks who either are involved with community food banks and culinary kitchens and all those kinds of things, community kitchens. But kitchens are a great place also to hone skills mm-hmm. that may be somebody's passion and somebody's hobby, and it can really turn into a great career path as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all of that coming together to help nourish and comfort and serve families in need as their kids go through health challenges and chapters where they need some services mm-hmm. and folks can come from far and wide. So it's been wonderful for you all to be sharing this story. Thank you again. Shout out to Megan Davis, committee chair of the Red Shoe Society, and Marissa Lund, marketing director, marketing manager,
coordinator,
whatever. Marketing of all, in all aspects.
Yeah.
here at Ronald McDonald House Charities of Southern Arizona. And again, another shout out to our friend Scott Malik, who's president and CEO. Matt Neely, has been wonderful sharing all these memories and stories about Indeed. How we've all been involved.
And we're just getting started.
And
the Morning
just
Voice
getting
is just getting warmed up. We after this great opening hour.
It's been wonderful. And so everybody, please go online, get involved, and sign up for Walk for Kids. If you do, you're going to be entered into a great drawing for Disneyland. And with that, stay tuned. We'll be back for our second hour in just a few minutes.
Alexander Ward, host of the People Helping People podcast, coming up in just a few moments.
Good morning, listeners and viewers. We are back for our second hour on Monday, October 29th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. If it's Monday, it means it's Rainmakers here on The Morning Voice, the positive talk morning weekday show here at KVOI 1030 The Voice.
Start that week off on the right step, right? On the sunny side of the street.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is sunny. It's a nice, clear morning. I don't think we're going to have any rain in the forecast, darn it. But I love the sun. I love these crisp autumn mornings. We're wrapping up a fabulous October, and Matt Neely there behind the glass keeping us going with some wonderful tunes and just kind of keeping us flowing, making sure we're meeting all our time constraints there, right, Matt? Our first hour, I want to thank again our guests. They were Megan Davis and Marissa Lund, representing Ronald McDonald House Charities of Southern Arizona. Megan serves on the board of directors and also chairs the Red Shoe Society Committee, and so if you have any desire to get involved with that, it's a great place to learn more about the fundraising and the volunteering activities at Ronald McDonald House. And Marissa's been there for a while, making sure that all the marketing messaging and such go well. And Matt, it was so exciting to hear some of the stories about upcoming events and things that they're doing. Now we are switching gears. We're going to continue talking about giving back and working with purpose and passion here in community, because my guest, I'm so excited, is Alexander J. Ward. Alexander is the founder and producer and host of People Helping People Live, which is a live podcast that hails here from Southern Arizona, here in the greater Tucson area. I think technically, is it Oro Valley, Marana?
Yeah, we're on the east side.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're excited about everything that People Helping People do. Alexander and I met through a mutual friend, and I have had the pleasure of actually being on the podcast, having wonderful conversation about uplifting our community and each of us finding a way to give back. And there are just many, many causes. That's actually a very similar theme here on Rainmakers. So, Alexander, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It is wonderful to be here, and a great way to start out a wonderful week. Mondays can be tough for folks sometimes, and so we try to give a little bit extra positive spin, but also a way for people to learn about what at whatever level they are, at financially or with their time availability or with their interests out in community, there's always a place that they can connect, that they can give back. As the adage goes, sharing of their time, talent, and treasure. And I think sometimes we find it difficult to figure out exactly how to take some of those first steps. And one of the things that your podcast is helping to do is not only highlight things that are going on and ways for people to get involved, but you also are bringing more of a conversation that dives a little bit deeper into the actual people who are helping other people. What a fabulous theme.
Yeah, I think looking behind the curtains and finding out why, putting a face to the business owner, to the artist, to the musician, the difference makers and shakers in the community is so important. So next time that you're walking into the business, you know who the owner is. And there's a little bit of, there's some camaraderie and community in that. And that,
sure.
I really want to just shed light on that and be able to give back at the same time.
Well, and you've been doing this for quite a while, and you tend to work, even though your podcasts are weekly, you, if I understand correctly, and what I've seen so far, is you tend to work sort of in chunks of quarters, where you put certain themes together and highlight particular organizations around those themes in that quarter, and you bring on guests who are able to talk to some of those missions. One of the things that you did last quarter, so that would have been July to the end of September, is you helped raise money for a particular cause that was near and dear to your heart. Mm-hmm. Tell our listeners a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so chapter two, and we run in chapters, so we're on chapter three now, but mm-hmm. chapter two was called The Give Back. And so we had taken everything that we had built in chapter one, which is the community and the camaraderie and all these incredible networking opportunities, sitting down with these incredible people. And me being a type 1 diabetic myself, we decided to do what's called the Give Back. And the Give Back was to help kids with type 1 diabetes go to a camp called Camp ASDA. AZDA, and that is a local camp here in Arizona where kids from 7 all the way on up to 17 years old can go to a place for 1 week in a year and have community, find understanding, find, because it's such a tough disease. Being a type 1 diabetic myself, I'm like, man, if I had a camp where I could meet other people that are type 1 diabetics, and then I don't feel as though I'm trying to explain to everybody around me what's going on.
Exactly.
So it was really incredible. And we put together an auction for the end of chapter two.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the artists that had come on the show donated their pieces to us for this cause.
Wow.
And we had a giant celebratory 6.5-hour stream on our podcast and raised over $3,800.
That's wonderful.
It was incredible.
Especially in such a short amount of time, kind of a buildup. You got people interested, and to have, was it like an auction or people were bidding on these pieces
yes.
that were brought? How exciting. So
yeah.
Art meets world, and also world is reflected in art. We see that theme so much with different nonprofits and different causes, linking that creativity to a cause. And this is yet another way to do that. Your talent of conversation and bringing,
it
absolutely is a skill of being able to really deep dive into the why that drives people to help support certain causes, but being able to then give back at the end of that. Let me go back for a minute about Camp ASDA, because I think you bring up a really good point that we find in a lot of different health-related causes and initiatives. We were just speaking with Ronald McDonald House Charities about their Walk for Kids and other aspects of initiatives that they do for children who are going through health issues, medical crises, maybe treatments and procedures, maybe not a crisis, but maybe a serious issue, and their parents or family members need to have a place to stay and have a place to be fed and or maybe feed each other and know that those boxes are checked so they can focus on the healing. So with diabetes, often we don't see that same kind of attention to the cause. So I'm really loving this idea and the fact that there is a Camp ASDA. I was less familiar about that until you started talking about it on your podcast and in our conversations. And you bring up a good point that sometimes kids, so is this for youth, people under 18, or is it for people of all ages? Or
I think the beautiful thing is the actual camp itself is for the youth.
Okay.
But it's really for the whole family.
Sure.
Because the parents that have children that are diagnosed, they may be first-time doctors because mm-hmm. that's what these parents turn mm-hmm. into.
That's right.
They are now taking care of a child full-time, learning diabetes through and through, and it is a daunting task. It is so much work. I was diagnosed at 28, so I don't know what that's like. But these kids, they can only tell their parents what they're feeling.
Right.
And the understanding is never 100% there unless their parents are diabetics as well.
Right.
But I mean, it's just really, really a beautiful thing to bring everybody together and everybody at the camp, not only the kids, but the counselors and the medical staff, everybody's type 1 diabetic there. So not only do the parents they get to come together, meet other parents, but they can take their foot off the gas for a week knowing that their kids are in a safe place.
Yes, that somebody's going to understand the issue and they don't have to be on top of it and calling and reminding and all those kinds of things. That is such an important part of health.
Yes.
Is not being able to not stress or overstress about it, because I think especially with parents with children of any who are facing any kind of condition, affliction, disease, challenge, all of those things can become overwhelming really quickly, and that stress just takes you off course. So the way to be able to give that back is wonderful. And again, you bring up a great point that anything that helps the children then helps the whole family. And I want to imagine that financially, sometimes camps and getaways can be a big burden. So a place where folks can sign up, maybe get some help, maybe get some scholarship or stipend toward the cost, or any of those things can be a real relief. In addition to that, one thing I remember you talking about in our recent discussion on your podcast is people helping people live, also in its facility, which I believe is a studio in your home.
Yes.
And your garage have been, as they've been turned into this business, if you will, are now also a receiving location for diabetic supplies.
Yes.
Did I get that quite right?
Yeah, no, you nailed it. You nailed it. And you're right. I mean, we're grassroots. You know, this is something that just started in my dining room and now is kind of evolving into this bigger studio in the house. And that conversation is still yet to be had with the person. But
so it's a concept and an idea that's in the making.
And that's happening this week. So I am really, really excited, because if I can be a hub, I guess the Diabetes Network of Arizona, they are a sponsor of our show. They caught wind of the things that we're doing for the kids at Camp Asda. They're the ones that run Camp Asda. And they have a network of individuals in Phoenix. So they're very localized. Mm-hmm. Phoenix is large, but they're localized to Phoenix. And they have all these different pillars, I guess you'd say, of people that hold diabetic supplies that are donated. And if anybody comes to Phoenix and they don't have their insulin or they don't have their continuous glucose monitors, they can reach out to somebody in that community that just has a fridge ready to go.
So they can get that little, that bridge until they can get their supplies and they're not in detriment, health detriment. What a wonderful thing. I want to do a little bit deeper dive into that when we come back, because believe it or not, we're already at our first commercial break. So listeners, you're listening to Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. And this morning in our second hour, we're speaking with Alexander J. Ward, People Helping People. Please stay tuned, because you're going to learn a lot more. And we're back for this second half hour of our second hour of our Monday, October 29th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and this is our show, Rainmakers, which is the Monday segment of the Morning Voice Positive Talk weekday morning show. And so we are welcoming in for this second hour, we've been speaking with Alexander J. Ward. Alexander, so great to have you here this morning. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm just I'm very thankful that I'm here to be on your show this morning.
Well, we have been having a good time in recent weeks, putting our heads together a little bit about how do we collaborate, because you host and produce a wonderful podcast called People Helping People Live. And if people want to find that online, it's peoplehelpingpeoplelive.com. And Alexander, on that, with the different chapters that tend to be about a quarter of a year, 3 months in length, you focus on a number of different issues, but there's always some underlying theme, and it kind of culminates with some fundraising that you and your listener base have been able to make a huge difference at any level. People might put in $5, they might put $500 in, you know, whatever they're doing toward a cause, but you're also bringing attention to issues. You're bringing voice to the why that are making people get involved in their communities, and helping just display that banner about how we're all in this together, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and I want to say too, if you want to find us, go to youtube.com/@ People Helping People Live. That's the best way.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
We'll be sure to put that up on our website too. And one of the things that we were speaking about right before we went on break was your last chapter, chapter 2, was very much focused on Camp Asda and working with the Diabetes Association here in Arizona and some of the initiatives that are ancillary to their main programs. And that includes being able to expand hubs of, I'm going to use the word, emergency supplies that bridge the gap. Folks who have diabetes and need to have their supplies, their testers, their insulin, other kinds of things that come into play there. There are times where things like that just might run out, or maybe something breaks, or the refrigerator gets unplugged, and all of a sudden your insulin goes bad, or whatever the case may be. And I guess there's a program and an organization that really focuses on being able to have hubs and storage areas, pantries, if you will, of the right kind of supplies to help bridge that gap. Not daily supplies, but, you know, just that little bit that people might need. But it seems like maybe we don't have that down here, down south.
Yeah. It's not in Tucson yet. So the Diabetes Network of Arizona, they have these hubs in Phoenix as of right now, mm-hmm. where if somebody forgets their insulin or they've run out of Dexcoms and all of this stuff is so expensive to mm-hmm. begin with, and it's life and death. If you don't have these supplies, you may it's be hospitalized. News. Yeah, so I'm in talks with them. They're sponsoring the show, and I'm so proud to be representing them. But I'm going to be the first hub in Tucson to be doing the same thing. And it's a no questions asked policy. You know, if people are donating their supplies, I keep the supplies on deck. And if somebody calls and they need something, come by. Mm-hmm. It's what's mine is ours. And so it's just a matter of helping as best we can. Me being a type 1 diabetic myself, it's near and dear to my heart. And I have been in those situations. It's
You're
scary.
Like, what do I do? Yeah. Where do I go?
Traveling without your diabetic supplies by accident, or mm-hmm. maybe, you know, let's say your insulin gets too hot and it's ruined, whatever it may be, to be able to have that stuff on deck and to be able to have my phone next to me. And if somebody calls, you know, come by. We got you covered.
Well, and that's a big undertaking and a very important one. And so thank you for doing that. Thank you for bringing attention to also the other resources that are available for diabetics, not just for the diabetic themselves, especially if they are a child or youth, a young adult, but their families who might need some support. We were talking about Camp ASDA and the fact that raising money so that not only the camp itself exists, but that funds can go toward parents or the kids who want to attend, because I have to imagine there's registration fee, there's the transportation to get there.
It's so
and
expensive.
To get home, yes, everything. We've been speaking on our show in the past about all of the different things that are available, sports camps and other kinds of trainings and summer programs and whatnot. And it's hard. It's hard to keep up the financing for that, especially in times like right now, where so much is going on that is impeding a family unit's budget. Mm. And those could be anything from just the economy is doing what it's doing and things are a bit more expensive all across the board for everyone. But also there's a fourth week of a government shutdown that is impacting so many families and so many agencies and jobs. And when that starts to happen, then there's that ripple effect. Mm. So people need help, and we want to be able to give it to them wherever we can. Some of us might be able to enjoy being able to donate funds. Others of us may choose to do that with our time and our talent or our networks where we can help pass the word. All of it adds up to good stuff, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're planting right now, those seeds of being able to make the biggest ripple that we can. And I just foresee, I know where people helping people is going, but right now we're doing what we can with what we have. And knowing that sending these kids to camp has changed so many lives, because the camp's been around for decades. And I had somebody by the name of Amanda Cardenas on my show after being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes myself. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find outlets to advocate. Like, how can I help other people not go through the same thing?
Yeah, how do we get to the mountaintop and yes. shout the loudest?
Yeah, how do we do this? Mm-hmm. And she came on, and because of Camp ASDA, she has just gone through a total life change of having this beautiful community, and the advocacy of what she's doing now is just really incredible. And she gave me the outlet. So all credit to her. Shout out to Amanda Cardenas for giving us those outlets. But
fabulous.
I just know that this is the beginning of multiple facets of ways that we can help. And, you know, I talk openly about myself being a diabetic, myself having Crohn's disease. And these are real things that a lot of people are going through. And just to have open communication about it. Like, it's okay to not be okay sometimes.
I think that is such an important thing to say. We do not have, well, first of all, we're not perfect and we're never going to be. End of sentence there. But that doesn't mean we don't continue to improve ourselves and improve our community and improve situations and opportunities that are going on. But in doing that, we can't stress about perfection. Mm. We have to give it our best shot. We really have to swing for the fences if we can. And it's okay if we miss.
Yeah. We laugh about myself on the podcast all the time being imperfect. I mean, there's so many household jokes between my girlfriend and I about me just stuttering over my words. And I think that that's the beauty of what we're doing right now, is just showing people that, for one, if you go back to my first episode compared to now, night and day difference in lighting and cadence and speaking and conversation. I mean, all these different things, I'm growing and people are seeing that. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. I'll call myself out all the time. Like, you know, gosh, I can't talk today, you know, or whatever it is. But yeah, just showing the human aspect of things is really important.
Well, one of the things I really appreciated on your show when you and I were speaking, and I tried to emulate that here as well on our show, is that when we're having these conversations, the idea is to bring information to light. The idea is to really highlight, hopefully, the good things that are going on, because it's so easy to only hear about negative things in news or as we go into agencies, there's a lot to cover there. But I love that we can also be vulnerable. And when we come back from our next commercial break, because we're at the bottom of the hour, I want to talk a little bit more about vulnerability and how that actually helps us grow and ascend and meet our goals. So you're listening to Rainmakers with Alexander J. Ward as our guest, People Helping People. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're coming back into you listening to a little Daz Band, Letting It Whip on a Monday morning. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. We are here with Rainmakers on The Morning Voice. At 10:30, The Voice, your trusted local news and talk radio station here in Tucson. Matt Neely, we're having a fun time as we're wrapping up a great month.
Indeed.
It is just flown by like everything else. But we are having a great talk with Alexander J. Ward. He is our guest this second hour. He is the founder and producer of People Helping People, which is a live podcast based out of the greater Tucson area, but really with listeners and viewers who are tuning in from all over the country. And they are wanting to hear about and discuss ways that we all can get involved in helping others in our community. Alexander, thank you for being here this morning.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
We've been having a great conversation about an awful lot of things and different causes, including health issues, diabetes in particular, but not exclusively. We've been talking about how we all can get together with these mechanisms, these tools that we have that tend to be with microphones and an amplified voice so that we can bring attention to more initiatives and causes, but also helping to connect people. And that's really my enjoyment of it. I'm a connector at heart. And I'm a connector professionally. And this is a great way to be able to amplify the need, speak about the why, and get people into action and activity wherever they can. You are absolutely an example of that. And right before the break, we were talking about sometimes getting into the why exposes vulnerability. But in doing that, we all show each other how we're actually similar in our humanity, in our needs, and in our desires to make sure that the world is a safe and healthy place for all, not just for those of us right now, but where it's headed. And it's tough times right now for a lot of folks and a lot of regions, but we're making a difference. And one of the things that we were talking about in vulnerability that I'd love for you to expand on a little bit is where you find the significance in bringing folks together around causes, and so much so that it actually led you to make this now your business? The podcast is something that's nice to do, but it's also a business, and you are making it thrive as an entrepreneur whose mission is to help solve some causes so that we can grow our community in a way that's sustainable and safe for all.
Yes.
Big broad brush, Stokes.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a great mission, but it's big. So tell us about that.
Yeah. I just feel as though my cause started. I think the best thing that ever happened to me was being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and Crohn's.
Changed your perspective?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's something really incredible that happens in life when you find purpose and service of others. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that my story was touching people and making a difference, then I also wanted to showcase the fact that you can be healthy, you can have a voice, you can feel powerful, even when sometimes you feel powerless. Mm-hmm. And being a diabetic, you feel that often. It's almost a daily thing. If you have hypoglycemic attacks, you feel powerless, mm-hmm. and it's okay. You know, and I just try to give people a little bit of hope and a little bit of something that gives them a glimpse into maybe what it could be or could look like, and also let them know that they're not alone. We all have things that we're going through. But yeah, that finding purpose and service of others through this podcast has just been really incredible, and the vulnerability of the business owners that are on the show, the artists and musicians,
sure.
their purpose, their reasons, their why. And that's the big thing, is looking behind the curtains. As I interview somebody, I really want them to get the building blocks from each of those interviews to be able to follow those footsteps. And then if they need help, reach out to me. If I can connect you with somebody who's like you, like we are these connectors of the mm-hmm. world, right? If I can connect you to somebody that's going to help further you in your life in one way or another, that's why I'm here.
Well, it's been a wonderful fate, I'm going to say, but even more than fate, we have some friends in common that actually brought us together. And I'm excited that we are creating the little building blocks together that are going to be able to give back in a wonderful way. And it's a big part of your chapter 3.
Yes.
A new company called Driven to Give that you have founded, and working together with our good friend Ari Barrera and his vision about using his experience, his talent, his skills, and his expertise in car repair has led him to a mission of wanting to help bridge those gaps for folks who are without a car, who need car repair to be affordable, who maybe need something even in addition to that, but need to be able to find a trusted source. And there are many, many auto mechanics and car repair places and tire shops and everything that are absolutely trustworthy. But it's a nervous area for people because you never really, if it's not your world of expertise, you're never really sure what, when you're asking for a quote or maybe if you think service is going to be quick or long, and what that does to your daily life, kind of like with health. If you hit a crisis or you need a little bridger of supplies or service or a treatment or something, same thing with cars. If you're without your car and if it's your only mode of transportation for work, for your family or whatever, you're really stuck.
Yeah.
And so Driven to Give was created, and we are working together to get quickly to the fundraising aspect, because the goal is to be able to provide service at a lower cost or maybe for free, as well as drum roll. What is the ultimate goal that we're working toward?
Yeah, so Driven to Give is, well, so I guess we'll just let them know. Yeah. Come Christmas time, we would like to hand the keys to a reliable, I mean, it's not going to be an incredible vehicle, but hand the keys to a reliable vehicle to a family in need. And I feel as though with our community, the way that everybody's on board with people helping people the way that they are, mm-hmm. we can provide a family with a means of transportation. So the chapter three, that is going to be our main goal, our main mission. We had chapter two, which was the give back and sending kids to Camp Asda. Now, mm-hmm. now we're going to hand
now
somebody the keys to
a
car.
Some reliable transportation. I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it. We hope to have some updates in just a couple days on that. And with that, I also want to go to, as you were driving by on your way to our studios this morning, you had a discovery that's actually just right around the corner, something that's near and dear to Matt Neely's heart, my heart. We've had them on our show, but you stopped in by chance to the Opportunity Cafe. What'd you find?
Yeah, I went in.
Oh,
he's excited. But yeah, I walked in and I you know, I was looking for some coffee. There's not really any coffee shops around here. There's
around
that
here.
One.
Yep, yep.
So I walked in there and I ordered my cup of coffee and she hands it to me. And I kind of just waited for a moment and I was like, well, I haven't paid, you mm-hmm. know? And she goes, oh, we're donation based. And I yeah. was like, well, yeah. it's totally taken aback, like donation based
right.
coffee
in this
shop.
Day and age.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah. And so, yeah, you just put your thing right there and donate to them. And yeah, you were giving me some more information about them, but their cause is really incredible.
It is wonderfully incredible, and I know that Matt actually has helped bring to light the wonderful things that they're doing. Matt, tell us about your experience.
They've been operating out of a trailer all year, mm-hmm. You know, a food truck kind of thing, next to their brick and mortar.
Right.
And you've got people that are taking their lives back. They're taking responsibility. They're taking agency over their lives, and they're putting their lives back together for a variety of reasons, mm-hmm. right? And there's a lot of different reasons took them there. But they are rebuilding their lives, and this is a way that they can get experience in retail. Coffee houses are a big thing, so this gives them real-world people skills and food preparation skills, and it's a good product they make. And as you pointed out, there are not a lot of coffee places nearby. There was a national chain, Starbucks, around the corner, which closed. Mm-hmm. But now it's right here in the neighborhood. And there's the business park. There's Butterfield Business Park. There's our business park. There's all these places around where people can go and get a good cup of coffee. They've got some nice pastries and everything. And they'll help you by giving you a little caffeine jolt that tastes great to start your day. And you're going to help them. You're going to help somebody kind of reclaim their life. So just a win-win.
And
so
to do good. It without a price chart, but have it be donation-based.
Didn't even know that part.
Yep.
That's a change.
Yeah.
That's a change that they've done, but good for them.
Yeah.
That's right. And so that's Gospel Rescue Mission and the Opportunity Cafe. And recently they were on our show and they were talking about Conversations on a Bench, which was a national initiative that happened just a couple of weeks ago. And we're waiting to get some input back from them about how those conversations went. Bruce was here talking from Gospel Rescue Mission about how for about 24 hours, including middle of the night, they were going to be sitting on a bench, similar to other faith-based affiliates that are service providers all around the country, who were going to sit on a bench and have conversations with anybody who just walked by and sat there. And that might be someone who's a donor, might be someone who's a business person. It might be someone who doesn't have any other place to sit and was coming to sit for just a little bit. And those conversations were going to be very much like what we're talking about now. Mm. What's going on in life? Who are they affiliated with? What services might they be in need of or are providing? And how do we put that together? So, and I think those interviews were not only recorded, but I think filmed as well. So I'm really looking forward to some of that coming to light, probably in just the coming days, I would imagine.
I love that. People's stories are all worth hearing. And that's the thing is like,
and everybody's got a story.
Everybody's got a story. And I'm learning so much. I just sit here so excited for everything that has happened and everything that's happening in the future, just because of the knowledge and wisdom. You know, selfishly, I get to have these one-on-one conversations with brilliant minds like yourself. And I have to give you your flowers too. Thank you for coming onto the show. Thank you for being such a, you're the person that's paving the road, you know, and I just appreciate you being there and lending a hand and having me on your show as well. But I'm so lucky to be able to sit here and have conversations with incredible people in the world and hear their stories and their whys and their passions.
it's how we are all driven. Like we're gonna, I'm gonna say, driven to give,
yeah.
driven to give back, driven to share, driven to help give voice to those who need it. Speaking of that, we're about to take our last commercial break for this hour, so please stay tuned because we've got more to say with Alexander J. Ward and Lydia Aranda. This is Rainmakers. Stay tuned. Little ain't no stopping us now. That is the best way to be wrapping up this show as we wrap up our final Monday in October. This is October 29th, and you've been listening to Rainmakers, because if it's Monday, it's Rainmakers, and we're talking about how to help keep Arizona, especially Southern Arizona, thriving. And we've had a wonderful show this morning. We have had Megan Davis and Marissa Lund, who were in our first hour, covering all aspects of the Red Shoe Society and Ronald McDonald House Charities for Southern Arizona, the great work they do, and how you can get involved. If you'd like to expand your servant leadership, want to be on a committee, want to volunteer your time or talent, a wonderful place to do that. And it has just been a natural segue into our second hour with Alexander J. Ward. Alexander is the publisher and host of People Helping People Live, which is a podcast that's headquartered and shot right here, produced right here in Southern Arizona, but has listeners and viewers all over the world, all over the country, and they are all talking about how they can help each other with a whole number of initiatives. We've been speaking a little bit about Chapter 3, Alexander, and thank you so much for bringing attention to so many causes: diabetes, engagement in community, how we can create more servant leaders, and giving people a chance to start with volunteering. Maybe they want to be in media and broadcasting or entertainment as well. It's a great way to get started. I'm going to do another quick plug, because yesterday Matt Neely and Ed Ackerley and myself and lots of other people were at, we joined Arizona Arts Live at their film festival Tucson over at U of A last night for another film, and that was great, wasn't it, Matt?
The Legend of the Happy Worker.
The Legend of the Happy Worker. And I'm going to say the three of us are examples of that. We love what we do, and that's making it not even feel like work most of the time. Sometimes when the alarm clock goes off on Monday morning, it's a little tough, but short of that. But Alexander, the reason I bring all of that up is because that's really your message. If you have a passion, you also have a purpose, and this is how we can get more people involved in that.
Yeah, just go do it.
Just go do it. Like Nike says, just do it. Swoosh.
Yeah. It's like if you want to try something, if you're passionate about something, at least go try it. It's okay. Like, it's okay to fail. I fell on my face so many times doing this live show.
Or it's okay if you just don't love it as much as you thought you would.
Yeah.
You might still like it enough to keep doing it.
Yeah. At least open the door for yourself to have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's so important for everybody, to just go fall on your face a bit.
Yeah.
You know, because at the
fail
end of the
up.
Day, yeah, you're going to learn something.
You really are. And you're going to meet people. And that's really what it's all about, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Building out that network. And you're taking those building blocks for yourself. And like I said, it's another notch, no matter what, whether or not you do fail, quote unquote, which I don't even like that
it's
word.
It's not even
really.
Fail. You just might trip a little bit.
Yeah. But you're going to learn. You're going to take that with you, and you're going to continue to grow.
Bob Ross.
That's right.
There are no failures, just happy accidents.
Yeah. Just happy accidents. Yeah. There you go. It's so true. Well, how can people find more about the podcast, and how can they get involved with you?
Yeah. So youtube.com/@symbol. People Helping People Live, or instagram.com/PeopleHelpingPeopleLive. And if on the Instagram, we just post a bunch of clips. On the YouTube, we're live Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Arizona time, right?
Yep, exactly.
And I always say Arizona time because sometimes that means Mountain Standard and sometimes it means Pacific Daylight. We stay the same, but everybody else changes.
So we're Pacific Standard Time right now.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, so they can go on the podcast Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 p.m., and learn and meet other people, hear about causes, including Chapter 3, Driven to Give. Please stay in touch with us, because Alexander and Lydia together are really going to be doing things with that, and we're going to hopefully give away keys to reliable transportation to a family in need very, very soon. So stick with us. Make it a fantastic Monday. Wrap it up as a great October. Enjoy your Halloween treats later this week. And don't forget Dia de los Muertos, where we honor our ancestors in so many different cultures and really bring attention to and gratitude to why we are, where we are, and who we are.
Mm.
Alexander, it's been great having you on this morning. People Helping People Live. Thank you so much for making us part of your day. And listeners, Rainmakers, every Monday, keep it tuned to 10:30 The Voice, the Morning Voice Show weekdays. Thanks, Matt. Take us away.